Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to Truth School Show, brought to you by Black Hawk Radio.
Yo, Blake, man, see how they trying to put you down, son? They want to put you up in the papers, man. And they want to scandalize your name.
Yeah,
we see what's going on, man. The community's behind you. Yo, man, they don't know what you did. Turn that school around. Yo, man, you got to let these people know who you are, man. You made 109 shine, man. Talk to these people, man.
It's the 109 man, and time to shine, and I'm still shining. I'm the guy who's changed the school around. Still, there are those who want to put me down. You see, I brought the uniform to the school, and every day it's morn. Teachers teaching at a high degree, using data, and that's because of me. Children smiling on their face, there's glee. 109 is where they want to be. I'm a leader, hey man, it's crazy. Never thought in my life that one day I'd be in charge of so many young minds, counting on me almost all the time. But my father told me when I was young, one day you're gonna be a leader, son. So I step to the plate, man, even though the haters, man, keep on hating. I'm a leader, not because I wanna rule. I'm a leader because I changed the school.
Models and also using examples that work.
So we're a solution-oriented program. If you'd like to find out more about me and my work, you can go to www.shungoblake.com, go to True, T-R-U-S-K Consultant tab, and it will show you all the information in terms of the kind of work that I do around urban education, working with teachers, principals, students, and the community at large. Also, like us on Facebook. You can go to Facebook /ShungoBlake.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter @ShungoBlake. Well, this week we're going to be speaking to, well, let me just say this before I tell you who we're going to be speaking to. It is the graduation season, and I go on my Facebook page, and I'm seeing all of these wonderful posts about people who have put the necessary work in to get to the point where they have an opportunity to celebrate their season. And so you see people with their robes on, and you see the post of people congratulating them for the sacrifice that they have made to get to this point. You see the proud parents. You see the proud students. You see family members who are with them all along the way to help them get to a goal. And so I've been watching this, you know, on Facebook, looking at posts on Twitter, looking at beautiful pictures and just getting feedback from people who have, made this journey and are now finally at the point where they have completed it. And I would be derelict in my duty if I did not celebrate and honor someone who's very close to me, who has just had a milestone in her life, and that is she has returned back to school 4 years ago as an adult learner and has now got her bachelor's degree. And that person is my wife, Mrs. Sharifa Blake, who is a recent graduate of the College of New Rochelle School of New Resources. And so we're going to be talking to her not only about her accomplishments, we're going to talk to her about the plight of the adult learner. You know, what was it like going back to school, you know, as an adult, and what did she have to overcome, and how does she feel now that she has this achievement under her belt? But before we introduce our guest, I want to just give you some information and some background facts about people who return to school and what does the research say. So I looked at this article on BrightHub.com, and the article is about the benefits of returning to school. And here's some of the points that the article makes. It says, a desire for career development is one of the most common reasons that adults decide to go back to college. Many people leave college before graduating because they need to go to work and start earning an income. However, they often find that it's difficult to continue to move up in their careers without a college degree. When faced with the realization that promotional opportunities may be few and far between unless they earn academic credentials, many working adults choose return to college. Separate from the issue faced by working adults who are not degreed, those who are undergraduate degrees may find the highest level employment opportunities in their field are reserved for individuals who hold graduate level degrees. Those with ambitions of climbing the corporate ladder or pursuing a career in academia often choose to return to college to earn master's or doctorate degrees. Here's one point that they make up front. The article specifically talks about the desire for career change. And what it says is that many people decide to change careers after working for several years. While some career changes may be possible without seeking additional training, it is difficult or impossible to go into the profession without completing a number of college-level courses or a full degree program. Whether a person who wants to change careers already has a degree or not, returning to college may be the only way to get the credentials necessary to do so. For example, individuals who want to become teachers must have a bachelor's degree in education or a field-specific master's degree with a teacher's certificate. Here are the skills needed for employability. As technology advances, some career fields are becoming obsolete. Individuals who lose their jobs because the skills they have are no longer in demand may find themselves in a position of having to return to college to get the training necessary to seek employment in a high-demand career field. For example, telecommunication professionals who are not knowledgeable about the computer system and voice over internet protocols. Technology may have a hard time finding employment without seeking college-level training in modern technology. And I'm going to read this last part, and then I'm going to make a statement about something that was recently stated in by our mayor of New York City in Bloomberg about the what's the word I'm looking for, the importance of learning a trade and not necessarily going to college. I have an opinion about that I want to say before we get into the show. But here's the third part that this article makes that I think is very important. It says, it's called Setting a Positive Example. Adults who want to convey to their children just how important a college education really is may choose to return to school themselves as a way of setting a good example. Parents who do not graduate from college during the years immediately following high school may decide to complete an associate or bachelor's degree program, while those who hold degrees may choose to seek graduate-level education. So those are some points that are benefits that are laid out in terms of the importance of going back to school as an adult. And in this economy, with jobs becoming obsolete and the unemployment rate still very high, specifically within Black and Latino communities, education and going back to school is always a great way to refine, retool your skills, and put yourself back out there in the workforce and make yourself more marketable to potential employers, or learn skills that can make you self-employed and market your skills directly to the consumers themselves. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, because it kind of ties into this whole thing about education and returning to school and what we just read in terms of some of the research about the benefits of returning to school as an adult, is that Mayor Bloomberg recently made a statement that the cost of college is so high at times that it might be better for a person to go to school to learn a trade to become a plumber. And I have nothing against that. If that's something that somebody wants to do, if that is something that is something that they want to pursue, it's a doable job. It has benefits. It's, you know, there's money to be made, you know, working in a field of trade. But I think that there's a little hypocrisy coming from the mayor, who is supposed to be the educational mayor. At least that's how he wants to be known as, the educational mayor. And when you look at what's going on in New York City public schools, where we are graduating students from high school who are going into college having to take remedial classes because the schools did not prepare them. Now, I'm talking about New York City. And then you look at the new Common Core standards that are coming down in terms of the new standards that are being laid out by the Obama administration in terms of what our students are expected to know. They're already saying in New York City that they don't expect the students to do well on the latest assessments that they took because it's a new standard, which is kind of confusing to me, because if you're teaching them right all along, then they should be able to master and deal with whatever assessment that they take. It shouldn't be geared towards, oh, well, they haven't seen this test before, so they're going to do bad. So it seems to me that the mayor is lowering the expectations on how the students are going to do on these assessments by saying, well, you know, maybe they shouldn't go to college. And it's kind of ironic that the students that are graduating from high school are not college ready. So you're not preparing them for college, and then you're saying they shouldn't go to college. Just think about that. Let's just think about that for a moment. And I think that when you look at it, it's almost like saying the careers as lawyers, doctors, what have you, are set aside for one group of people, while others should be looking at either going into a trade or going into the service industry. And there's a famous I remember Minister Farrakhan talked about when he was growing up, he was geared towards not going into, I think, either law or medicine. And he did an analogy between him and Malcolm X, how they both had the same experience. One was told, you know, be a carpenter because your people will never trust you as a lawyer. And even in my experience, when I was growing up, I was told to go to a 2-year community college instead of going to a 4-year institution, because 2 year may be better for me, even though I had 4 year grades. And I thank God for my parents who had the foresight and the education to be advocates for me. But how many of our children have been exposed to that? And then let's lay out what they said, okay, in terms of their experience and what the mayor is saying in terms of, you know, going into a trade, and then look at what the research just said about the importance of going to school, getting a college degree, and what opportunities it will open up for you in terms of your career. So that is the backdrop in the foundation that we're going to use to lay for our conversation with my wife, Sharifa Blake. And we'll be doing that right after this commercial break. Okay, we might be having a little technical difficulty, so I'm going to hold off on that commercial break, and I'm going to get right into the show. Sharifa, we
yes.
want to read, how are you? We're going to take a moment to read your bio. Sharifa Blake is an international hair and scalp educator and hairstylist. She specializes in hair color, relaxer, precision haircut, and prevention of hair loss, and works on all type of hair. Sharifa Blake has had over 17 years experience in the hair care industry and is extremely passionate about it. At the foundation of Sharifa's success as a hair care educator and trainer, it is her sincere belief that healthy hair begins at the scalp and therefore only uses products that will help stimulate healthy hair growth. Sharifa believes that what sets her apart from other stylists is her integrity towards healthy hair. She will not give a client a chemical service if it will compromise the quality and integrity of the hair, and instead offers treatment to restore the hair first. Sharifa has helped thousands of clients through her work as a salon owner, manager of a corporate salon, master colorist, relaxer specialist, retail specialist, and manager of a beauty supply store for salon professionals. She has trained thousands of hairstylists all over the world to help them promote healthy hair growth with their clients. Sharifa currently works as a national educator for Procter & Gamble's Nioxin brand, providing professional development with a focus on business growth, and has trained new educators for the brand to go out and teach their profession, teach other professionals as well. So we'd like to give a big true school welcome to Sharifa Blake. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay. I think you're going to have to check your thing because your sound is coming out a little funny. So you might want to change that with your phone. But we do want to welcome you to the True School Show. And we want to tell the listeners to get ready to call in 323-927-2913. Press number 1 on the keypad if you have any questions or concerns or comments. And we want to remind you that we love to hear from you, your educational issues that are important to you. Email me at shungo@blackholeradio.com with suggestions and ideas for future shows. Sharifa, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you sound much better. Welcome. And I'm so happy to have you, and I want to say off the bat, before we even get into the interview, I have watched you night after night deal with writing papers, researching material, pulling out all-nighters with your coffee, trying to make it happen, and dealing with just the pressure and stress that college has to offer. And I want to say to you, as your husband and friend, that I am very proud of the work that you've been able to accomplish, and I hope that your degree opens up many doors for you and that it allows you to just do the kind of work that, you know, God has put in your mind and your heart to do. So welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your kind words and words of encouragement, and thank you for having me on your show. I felt very honored to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. So let's get right into the interview. Let's start off with a little background. Now, when I was reading your bio, I said, you know, when you read the bio, and it falls in line with a lot of adults who go back to school. You have 17 years of experience in the the hair care industry. You've been a leader both from the business side, the retail side, master stylist. You have all this professional experience, but yet you still made that decision to return to college. Before I get into asking you why you made that decision, let's get some background information. I want to know, what high school did you attend?
Well, actually, before we get into that, I just want to let you know that it's actually over 18 years professional experience.
Okay.
And I actually graduated from Cardozo High School, which is in Bayside, Queens.
Okay. And what kind of student would you say that you were, you know, when you were in high school?
I've always considered myself to be a good student. I was one of those type of students that as long as I showed up and I paid attention, it was really easy for me to retain information. I could have been a better student. I felt that I was like many other students. I really didn't push myself to my maximum potential, but I was a pretty decent student, you know, considering.
Mm. Now, why didn't you go to college right after high school?
You know, it's always been a passion of mine to be a hairdresser. From the time that I was 5 years old, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. So it was always my goal to go to high school, and after high school, I wanted to go to beauty school because I wanted to be a hairdresser.
Okay. Okay. And so do you want to elaborate? I know you were talking about the 18 years experience, but the kind of work that you've done in the hair industry, is there anything that the bio didn't cover?
Well, like you said, I've worked, well, you didn't say, but I have worked in several corporate environments, and I got a leadership position as early as 21 years old. I was a manager of a beauty supply store that sold products only to professionals. So I did that for a number of years, and then I went into the corporate environment and became a salon manager.
Okay.
So I've played many different roles in terms of being behind a chair and also being in the distributorship end of selling professional products as well.
Wow. Okay. So here it is that you had these experiences. You know, I'm speaking specifically of a professional experience. And you obviously have made a contribution to your particular profession. What made you decide to return to school? You know, what were some of the reasons that you returned to school? I mean, we hear about some of the things that we mentioned earlier in terms of the research and people wanting to move forward with their career. What was the motivation for you?
Well, for me, I always feel like self-improvement is, there's always a potential for that, and I feel like we could always improve in some way, shape, or form. For me in particular, my situation was, I came out of corporate and went into my own, working for myself. And when I did that, the recession hit. So my business became very, it wasn't consistent. You know, you can have an excellent week, you can have an excellent couple of weeks, but it wasn't consistent. So I knew that I didn't want to be in a situation where, you know, there's stability. I want stability. I want to improve myself. I want to always try to do better for myself and for my family, so I knew that was the right time for me to go back to school.
Now let me just be clear. So this was at one point you were you owned your own salon?
Yes, at one point I owned my own salon. I opened up my own salon when I was 27 years old, and I did that for a couple of years. And the reason why I decided to come out of business was during that time my daughter was about to enter middle school, and
okay.
The amount of hours that I was putting in work, I mean, I would be there from 9 o'clock in the morning to 12, 1 o'clock in the morning working, and I had to make a choice. I said, either be a mother or be married to this business where that's it for me, and I said, I cannot risk losing my child to the world because I'm at work all the time, so I had to make a decision, and I decided, you know, I'm going to come out and be able to be home and, you know, be there for my child. So that was my decision based on making that change.
And so when you went back to school, obviously, she was at an age where you felt like you could be able to juggle that and have that kind of balance.
Yes, definitely. She was older now. She was a teenager. So, you know, it's a little bit different than when you have a child that's younger, where they need more hands-on time. You know, there's school trips involved. There's more hands-on in terms of homework, and you just need to be there. So when I did go back to school, she was old enough where she was in high school herself, so we would be sitting down doing homework together. It was just a great time in terms of, you know, my issue growing up.
Right. So let me ask you this. For many people, we turn back to school as adults. That can be a very frightening experience. You know, just the whole process of wrapping their mind around being back in school can you know, cause or bring about anxiety. And what I want to know from you was, when you decided to go back to school, can you just take us through the steps, like what happened? You know, take me from like the registration process, and I mean, what was going through your mind as you were going through these steps?
Okay, sure, absolutely. I would love to share that story. So I was actually discussing with you, my husband, that I was thinking about going back to school, and you actually one day said, you know what, let's go take a ride to the school and see, you know, let's just go get the information. So we went to the school, and when I went to the school, one of the advisors asked me if I had time to take the entrance exam test right then and there. So I said, sure, why not? I have time. So I took the test, and after I took the test, she told me that I did very well on the test, and I can start literally right then and there because classes had just started 2 weeks prior. So she's like, you know, do you want to start now? And I was
so wait
like,
a minute. So wait, let's back up. I mean, I know this story, but just for the listening audience, literally when you went there, you went there to seek information.
Yes.
You were going there just to kind of get information, gather information, maybe go home, think about it. And when you get there, they say, hey, you want to take this test?
Right. And I was thinking that, okay, I'm going to go get the information and I'll start the following semester. But as things would be, you know, I had the time to take the test. I said, why not? Let me take the test now and, you know, let's just see what happens. So basically I ended up registering for college that day and started school like a couple of days later.
Wow. So you were pretty much thrust into this situation.
Yes. I jumped in you know, both my feet in and, you know, hit the ground running.
Now, was there any, how difficult was it for you to adjust to return to school? And what I mean by that was there any anxiety? I mean, here it is, like you said, you went there to just get information. Two days later, you're in class. Was there anxiety? What was going through your mind?
At that time, I don't think I really was anxious, only because I didn't expect everything to happen so quickly. So at that time, I really wasn't anxious. You know, I went through the process, you know, in terms of registering financial aid and making sure everything was in order. And I don't think I really had anxiety right then and there because everything just went so quickly after that. I really didn't have time to sit back and think about it. It was just like, okay, I went there, and the next day I was in school, and I had to do work and homework. So, I mean, I can say that I probably got anxiety a little bit later on, you know, in terms of really getting into the work and, you know, the intensity of the work, because I haven't been in school in over 18 years. So it was an adjustment in terms of just really embracing the whole experience. But I think the anxiety probably came a little bit later. It wasn't right away.
So let's go down a little bit further past the first couple of days in the registration process. Now you're in class. You've got your syllabus, your assignments, what have you. Mm-hmm. What was the most challenging aspect for you to return to school as an adult? And it doesn't necessarily have to be the actual content of the work. It could be anything, you know, management of time, balancing between family and the work that you had. What was the most challenging thing that you experienced?
I would say, hands down, the most challenging thing is time management, because now you're dealing with everything that's important. One thing is not more important than the other. School is important, work is important, your family is important, you know. So the combination of everything, it's like, okay, I have to make sure that I dedicate enough time to each and everything, each and every aspect of my life, which all are demanding to a certain degree. So I would definitely say time management.
Time management. Okay. And so how did you push through those challenging times? I mean, what kind of plan did you come up with to help you deal with balancing the things that you just represented?
Well, I think it's like anything else. Once you get into a rhythm, you know, you become better at it. And for me, it was more like, okay, let me deal with what's on my plate for today. You know, I had to look at it like that and deal with each day as it came, because some days you may have a really busy deadline at work that needs to be done, or some days you may have a paper that's due that you have to take, you know, that has to take priority. So I would just say deal with what's on your plate for that day, and just kind of stay in the moment and, you know, take baby steps. Do everything little by little so that you don't become overwhelmed.
Was there times that you became overwhelmed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. To say that anyone, and this is even an 18-year-old just graduated from high school, going into college, at some point everyone has to get overwhelmed because it's very intense. You know, and, you know, I did have that moment where I had my breakdown. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And thank God I had you as a husband that's very supportive, that told me, you're not the first one going through this, and you won't be the last, so let's go and get it done. And I had to just come to terms with it, like, yeah, you're right. I have to get it done.
So, and I want to just punctuate that point to the listening audience out there. If you have a family member who's going back to school, or and you're, you know, married in your relationship or whatever, you really need to understand the demands and the pressure of being back in an academic situation and having these classes and this coursework. And the best thing to do in that situation is to be supportive, because none of us get anywhere without support. I mean, anybody who's been through any kind of experience, but I'm going to use college for right now as an example, that happens with the support and the reinforcement of family, you know, whether it's mother, brother, husband, father. Don't take lightly those words of encouragement, because it gives just enough energy for that person to push just a little further. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree 100%, 1,000%. I mean, that support is so crucial. I went to school, I met a lot of my classmates, and there was quite a few people that had struggles with that, where they really wasn't getting support from home. I mean, some of them actually got divorced during the school process. And so their support is extremely important. Just even if you said, like you said, you know, just to get that quiet time for 1 hour to get a paper done, or, you know, just a word of encouragement, like, you can do it. You know, you're going to do it. That makes such a difference. Such a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. 323-927-2913. Press the number one key on your keypad if you have a question or a comment. Let's call in. Again, you know, we're talking about the process which you've been through, but we're also talking about celebration. I mean, this is a very powerful moment, and I understand that the graduation will actually be tomorrow.
Yes, yes, and actually, today I think is the first day that I'm actually feeling like this is real. Like, I'm really graduating tomorrow. It's amazing.
Yes, and college. If you had a hooding ceremony, I think last week sometime. Can you explain to us what that was? And it's sort of like part of the. These are the part of the rituals that happen around graduation. So, what was the hooding ceremony like?
Yes, well, the hooding ceremony was really nice. It was my individual graduating class, and it's very intimate. Basically, what happens at the hooding ceremony, the director of the campus explains to us the different gowns that people wear for different levels. So, in other words, when you graduate with your bachelor's degree, you wear a certain gown. When you graduate from master's, you wear a certain gown and cap. When you graduate for your doctorate's degree, it's a certain ground. So she went into that and basically just acknowledged us, the graduates, and, you know, we got a chance to share that experience with our loved ones. So it was really nice. It was really nice to, you know, have that experience. That was part one. And tomorrow is going to be the official graduation where we have all of the schools from within the College of New Rochelle graduating together. So that's going to be the bigger ceremony tomorrow.
All right, so you know we're coming to a close, and that's great. That is so great.
Yes.
So just want to go back a little bit and ask you this question, because this is a real question. I'm asking this question for those. I actually had a conversation today with a brother who is took classes at the College of New Rochelle, and I think has to complete about 20 to 25 more credits. And the brother was telling me, yeah, man, I got to get back. I'm thinking about going back in the summertime or the fall time. I have to do this, you know. I just had, you know, other issues that were in play, but I really want to do this. And it seems like a personal kind of a commitment on his part.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask you, was there ever a time, you know, as you were going through this process that you thought that you were not going to make it?
Well, I did have
that
one
book. Actually completing the degree.
No, you know what? I think that for me, I was really determined that I needed to get this done. It was definitely a personal achievement, you know, personal goal of myself, and especially having a daughter that I'm proud to say she just finished her first year at Clark Atlanta University.
Well,
you
congratulations
know,
to her.
Thank you. But I know that she's watching me, and I know that there is going to come a point in time where it's going to be difficult for her. So I wanted to be a good role model for her and say that, you know what, despite whatever you're going through right now, push through. Push through, because that rough time is going to ease up and it's going to become a lot easier for you. And it's just such a wonderful accomplishment to complete it and get it done, you know. So... And, you know, I have wonderful role models, too. My mother went back to school as an adult learner after being out of school for 25 years. She went to school, college, you know, graduated on the dean's list, went back and got her master's degree, and she did all this with children and managing a household. And, you know, so I really had some really good role models. I watched her. I'm like, wow, she's amazing. She was able to get that done, and she has 9 children. I just have one. I don't have any excuses. I don't have any reasons why I can't get this done. You know?
Well, that is absolutely inspirational. I'm going to have to talk
absolutely.
To her on this show one of these days, because how she did that with 9 children,
that's
a story.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. She put it through. Basically, she lived at school. You know, she knew that, you know, at home it's not really a good study environment, because with that many children, you know, it was kind of loud. It was kind of loud growing up.
You think,
you know, but she knew that, okay, for me to get my work done.
Oh, hold that thought, Sharifa. We have a caller. Caller, can you please tell us where you're calling from and who you are and what is your question or comment?
Okay, my name is Belkis Orwahaj, and I am
We just spoke you up. This is the mother of Sharifa Blake, and we just said well, we got to get her on this show and let her tell her story. But what would you like to say to your daughter in terms of her accomplishment?
Well, congratulations! I'm very proud of her. I know it's been a difficult road, but she achieved this milestone in her life, and she. Is making a great example for her daughter, and I'm very proud of her, and congratulations.
Thank you. Well, it did help watching you, you know, go through your school, and I was just saying that, you know, it was amazing watching you go to school with all of the kids, you know, so I said, wait a minute, I just have one. If she can do this, and
that's
you,
right.
You know.
8 kids home.
Yeah.
8 kids home.
Yeah.
You, including you and my Isha. Yes.
Yes. It's so true. And you know what? You lived at the library because you knew that you needed quiet to get your work done, and
that's
you
right.
stayed the course and got it done. I mean, I was always very impressed with you and very proud of you. So, you know, you was a very good role model for me and for all of your children.
See, this is what I love about graduation, because I mean, this sounds so much like a Hallmark card moment, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, I want to. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but you know, we work hard to get to this point, and you're looking at now three generations. Maisha's well on her way. So you're looking at three generations of educated women, and you know there's a saying: if you educate a man, you educate an individual, but when you educate a woman, you educate a nation.
Mm.
And I just wanna again thank you for your call, and the calls keep on rolling. Let's see what we have next. Caller, can you please tell us who you are, what's your comment or question? Hello.
Hello, this is Dr. Bessie calling in. And I want to say congratulations to Sister Sharifa. Your story is so inspirational. Not only am I inspired by what you are doing for yourself and your family, but I'm impressed by your background. And I have worked in the area of adult education, and I'm always interested in what it is that students can suggest in terms of improvement so that we move the whole field forward. So my question is, as an adult educator yourself, because I heard in your introduction that you did training of other adults in the hair care industry, what were the advantages of your being an adult educator when you went into the classroom, or were there challenges because of that? Could you talk about that experience?
Yes, and thank you so much for the congratulations. I really appreciate it. And that's actually a very good question. I think that my background as being an educator actually enhanced my experience, my education experience. I feel that because I am an educator, I was able to, when you're an educator, your job is to educate, but educate in such a way that your students understand and they get it. Mm-hmm. And I feel that with my experience as being an educator, that's one of the things that's very important. I'm dealing with a lot of times hairdressers, and I'm teaching them. And, you know, hairdressers, we don't really have a very long attention span. Because we're not used to sitting down and sitting still for 5 minutes. So when you're dealing with a group like that, you really have to keep your students engaged. So I feel like this actually helped me with my educational experience because I'm looking at it from two perspectives. I'm looking at it from a student, but I'm also looking at it from an educator as well. And also with the School of New Resources, the school that I went to, when you take 6-credit courses, you actually, at the end of each course, you have to do what's called a life arts project. And what that is you've taken the particular course that you took and you're marrying it with your life experience. And part of that is you have to do an oral presentation in front of your class. Many people struggle with this because they really didn't feel comfortable talking or speaking in front of a group. When it came to me, because I had that experience being in front of a group already, that part was easier for me. So I always did very well because I'm used to being in front of a group and speaking. So I think that really helped enhance my educational experience.
As a follow-up question, are there things that you would suggest to the institution or to people who are seeking to help adults achieve how they could do it better?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. I actually do have a piece of advice for the institutions. One of the things that I really saw my fellow classmates struggle with, a lot of the students are going back to school and they really have not been in school for 18, 20, 30, sometimes 40 years. And a lot of the challenges that they had was writing and being able to get the thoughts out of their head onto the paper. Mm. So because things have changed in that many years, when they was in school years ago, I felt like a lot of the students really did have difficulty on that level. And I feel like maybe we could have some mentors within our educational system to help students overcome that fear, because I've literally watched students excel and improve so much from when they first started to the point of now graduating. they just really improved and have gotten so much better with the process, with being diligent and sticking with it. So I just feel like if we were able to really mentor these students and maybe help them with writing and, you know, helping them get through that process, because writing is a big key to school. You know, you have to be able to convey your message by writing it down.
Well, thank you so much, and I just want to say have a tremendous day tomorrow at your graduation. I
thank
just think
you so much.
It's just wonderful to see, you know, adults returning to school, and especially women with children who are achieving. I'm really inspired.
Thank you, thank you.
And we'd like to thank Dr. Bessie Blake, and disclaimer, that's my mom. And she was on with us a couple of weeks back, and you can hear the interview that we did with her in reference to adult learners and education, because that's her background and field as an expert in that area, and it was a very insightful interview, and we thank you again for your insightful questions. I mean, I'm about to say, hey, Mom, you might as well take over the show because you got the right questions.
it's a topic I'm passionate about, and
yes.
I'm just so proud of Sharifa.
Thank you
for your call. And at this point, Brother Forrest, are you there? My engineer, Brother Forrest? To catch him so we can play a special treat for you and to all the graduates out there. And I'm hoping that he can hear me, because I would like to set up this song that we have for the graduates and then come back and speak to Sharifa a little bit more about her experience as an adult learner. So if Brother Forrest, if you're there or when you get a chance, just interrupt me and let me know when the song is in the queue. And here it is. This goes out to all the graduates. This is your season, and enjoy it.
Congratulations. Doing your thing, shining. We know you were tall for that. Yeah. So go ahead and smile. Party on. Never quit.
Graduation dance, lean back with diplomas in your hand. Add a little Harlem shake, you got it. Now ball and pop lock it. Graduation dance, lean back with diplomas in your hand. Add a little Harlem shake, you got it. Now ball and pop lock it. It's your season, it's knowledge that you bring in. That's right, the degree mean you want the next degree. Understand, no longer a slave, now your mindset is free. You a graduate. Whether it's a master's or a bachelor's, understand what I'm saying, son. This is different. You get an education, that's revolution. The sky is the limit. That's right, you're in it to win it. Keep striving, you ain't a survivor. You are an elevator, motivator. That's right, wider. Mission, vision, understand, no division. Unity is the plan. So we doing it at CNR. Raise your hand in the air, you're a star. That's right now, like your style. They getting mad at you, they acting hostile. I see the haters watching, but it's okay. Just wave your degree and say, hey, anyway. It's our day, we gonna do what we do, do it real good, represent for the hood. Now we got our degrees, I know you're loving this style. Graduation dance, lean back with diplomas in your hand. Add a little Harlem shake, you got it. Now pause and pop lock it. Two-step. Graduation dance, lean back with diplomas in your hand. Add a little Harlem shake, you got it. Now pause and pop lock it.
Thank you.
Yes. And that was graduation dance. We will send that out to all the graduates out there. We hope you enjoyed that song. That is for you and your season. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to finish our discussion with Sharifa Blake.
Ahoy there.
Ahoy. Arr.
We're looking for the pirate known as Blackface.
There be no pirates here, for pirates are a scourge on the seven seas, arr. Isn't that right, lad?
Hey, I want no trouble, sir. Simply a message from Her Majesty.
And what be that message, lad?
There is to be no more violence. Arr.
And what are we to do, sir, to still our loneliness?
Ah, that is easy, sir. Ask the tavern owner for the password to his Wi-Fi and log on to www.blackholeradio.com. Blackhole, W-H-O-L-E. Register and join on to any or all of the social media groups forming now and join for free.
We like free.
Then you can interact with forward-thinking, like-minded people who enjoy the shows that you love, such as Time for Truth, La Hora de la Verdad, and Unlawful Captives.
I, Black Hole Radio, the irresistible force in the universe.
Black Hole Radio.
May I have the attention of the elite group of business-minded entrepreneurs in the tri-state area. This one is for you. Located at the intersection of small business ingenuity and big business know-how, the Mind Your Business Government Contracting and Business Workshop. These two exciting three-hour events will take your business to the next level of success. Here's what you'll need to learn. What you wanted to know about government contracting but didn't know to ask. Organizational leadership skills that are guaranteed to take your business to the next level. The ABCs of securing financing for your business. How to protect your business to make it bulletproof. The event locations and times and dates are as follows. Friday, June 7th, 2013, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Harlem State Office Building, 163 West 125th Street, New York, New York. And Sunday, June 9th, 2013, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Wilshire Grand Hotel, 350 Pleasant Valley Way, West Orange, New Jersey. Advance purchases available and seating is limited. Ticket prices are $50 in advance and $75 at the door. Same-day registration will begin 1/2 hour prior to the event. For more information about this life-changing event, contact LaShawn Allen Muhammad at 347-728-9492. Once again, LaShawn Allen Muhammad at 347-728-9492 or www.21stcenturycreativegroup.com. Once again, 21st is numeral 21. And make sure you say Black Hole Radio sent you the Mind Your Business Government Contracting and Business Workshop. Be there.
Now returns us back to True School with your host, Shango Blake.
Welcome back to True School. I'm your host, Shango Blake, Brother Shango. And I want to remind you the call-in number is 323-927-2913. Press number one key on your keypad if you have any questions or comments. We are here talking to Sharifa Blake, recent college grad, about the plight of the adult learner from a student's perspective. And she's been giving us a lot of information that has been very helpful. And Sharifa, we want to again say to you, we can't say it enough times, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I want to shift the focus for a moment. as you were coming, I remember when you first went into the school and you were telling me about, you know, your professors and, you know, we were looking at the road ahead and it seemed a little overwhelming just in the beginning. And mm-hmm. and then I remember in recent weeks you told me that there were students that were looking at you now because now you're the big senior on campus getting ready to walk. And they were inspired by your accomplishments. What were the questions that they had for you, and what was your advice to them?
I think really for them, they just needed that little bit of encouragement to really push forward, because so often we come to a point in our life where it's like, okay, I've known some people that's like, all right, I just started a new job, so I really can't finish this. And my advice to them was try to finish it. You know, just try to get through it, because there's always going to be something in your life that you may feel that is more important or will take priority. There's always going to be something. So my advice is just stay the course and just finish. Just push through. You know, it's a lot of sacrificing. You know, my friends and my coworkers, you know, they'll tell you, you know, I couldn't go to a lot of events. I just couldn't do it. I had papers to do. I had, you know, assignments due. And I had to make that sacrifice. So my advice would be make that sacrifice and push through, because, you know, it's all worth it at the end. You know, when you finish and you have that degree in hand, you're like, wow, I did it. Mm. You know, and the time goes by so quick. Like, I really can't imagine that I've been in school for 4 years. I feel like I just started. I really don't feel like it was 4 years since I've been in school. So my advice is the time is going to go by anyway. 4 years is going to go by, and I got this from you. 4 years is going to go by whether you do anything or whether you do something. So why not, at the end of 4 years, complete your mission and get it done, and, you know, you will definitely reap the benefits of it.
Yes, and I tell you, I'm just listening to you, and one of the things that comes into mind is something that you said earlier on in the program, which is the baby steps, you know, taking those baby steps, and before you know it, you walk them out.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
and I can say for me that I really, I'm sorry to interrupt, I really enjoyed the process. You know, I really did not know that I would love learning as much as I did. I mean, you know, I would come home, I learned a new word, and I would say that word, and, you know, I would speak it, you know, because I really enjoyed the process of learning. And that's one thing that really surprised me. I really just did not know. And now I'm like, I'm hungry for more, you know, I want more knowledge.
Yes. And let me say this: we have a Twitter statement which says from Darlene Aiken, as a single mother who went back to school full time in pursuit of my master's degree, I can attest to the fact that while it can be challenging, it can also be a rewarding experience. Not only rewarding for the obvious reasons, but also because my son was able to see me as the sole provider. I was maintaining an A average all the while, never neglecting any of his needs. Additionally, I held down 2 full-time jobs and wrote a book simultaneously. The key is organization. My experience taught me in a very true sense that anything is attainable once one becomes serious about pursuing it. And we thank you, Ms. Aiken, for that Twitter feed.
Yes,
so,
thank you. That was very inspiring.
Yeah, exactly. So now that you have this degree, what do you hope to do? What do you hope to do with it in terms of how do you plan to use it to enhance your quality of life? How will you use it?
Well, I know that I'm not finished right now. I'm not finished yet with my education. I am planning on continuing on and getting my master's degree.
Okay.
But I really, I'm teetering back and forth with a few options, but I do know that I would like to get into a career where I like the whole education field, the education that I'm doing now. So hopefully, you know, there can be some great opportunities with that. Specifically, I really can't tell you right now, but I have a couple of ideas, and I'm really just going to kind of see what kind of opportunities there are for me. I can say this. There have been many times in my career even with all of the hands-on experience that I have, I was not able to get a certain position because of the lack of the degree. So I'm very excited now that I do have the degree to marry with my experience, what type of opportunities there are for me out there.
And you know, that's such a critical point that you're making, because how many of us out there have experienced this? You're the most qualified person for the job. You have the person who is doing all the on-hands work, but you have a boss who is not nearly as qualified as you. But because they have that degree, they sit in a position of authority over you.
Absolutely.
And so the degree actually, when you take like this 18, now it would be interesting to see, you take this 18 years of experience and now marry it with your college degree, you should be able now to use that to move and advance your career in a way that now you're not the person doing all the grunt work, but you're the person leading other people. And not only that, you have the experience to lead.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the things that I really, you know, that was another driving force for me. You know, it's like, I know I can do the job. I know that I'm qualified for the job. But many employers won't even look at you if you don't have the piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm very excited that now I do have the piece of paper that I can marry with my experience, and the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit as to what I can do now.
That is so powerful. Now, let me ask you a very personal question.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, how has returning to school impacted your daughter and her studies?
It has impacted her tremendously. Well, I can tell you one of the first things she said to me when I told her I was going back to school. She was very, very happy for me, and she told me, okay, young lady, you see those grades that you can pull now, because I've always emphasized the importance of education to her. Since she started school, I always emphasize the importance of it and the need to do well. I said, you're not going to just skate through. You know, you go in and you do the best you can. Put effort into it. You know, work hard. And that's one of the things she said to me. She said, I want to see those grades. And I said, you know what? It's not a problem. I practice what I preach. I'm not going to just tell you to get good grades and I'm going to go in and skate through. No. I practice what I preach, and I proved it to her. I came home and showed her my A papers all of the time. And it's so interesting because one time, I don't want to put her on blast, but, you know, I have to share some story.
Put her on blast. That's what parents do. Your mom just called here and put you on blast. Return the favor.
This is true. Okay. So one time I came home and I got an A-plus on the paper. And she had just taken the test and she got a 76. And, you know, so she told me that she got a 76. And, of course, I put on my A-plus. I'm like, wow. 76, well, here's my A-plus, what you got? And the very next test that she took, not only did she get 100, she got 105, which means she did extra credit and got it all right. So I know that, you know, because I told her, I said, listen, I haven't been to school in how many years? Is you really? You're going to let your mom come home with better grades than you? I don't know how that's going to look for you. So, you know, it became a friendly competition thing, but you know what? It really did make her step up her game and really just, because she's very smart. She's like me. All she had to do is show up to class and she would do well. But now it made her push herself and, you know, take it to the next level. And I see a tremendous, tremendous improvement in her in terms of her work ethics when it comes to school. You know, she takes her grades, her schoolwork seriously, and she's doing very, very well. And I know that watching me as an adult with real responsibilities go back to school and get it done and do well has really inspired her to the next level to know that, you know what, I can do this. So
That's such a powerful testimony. That is such a powerful testimony. I wish we could hear from her because, I just like to know her perspective in terms of these kind of things. But there's nothing wrong with a little righteous competition.
Yeah, absolutely,
and the thing that makes the testimony so powerful is that you mentioned being an example, practicing what you preach. You know, a lot of times as parents, we are guilty of on multiple levels of do what I say, not what I do.
Not as I do.
Yeah, they tend to do what we do.
Right.
And so
because they're watching. They're watching.
And so we really our actions really reflect our values, not our words. And
right.
so for you to be able to constantly give her that message of the importance of education and then go ahead and demonstrate
right.
is powerful. I think that was one of the things that we got from our Twitter feed from Darlene that, hey, you know, I was in school, I was maintaining A's. You know, these are examples. This is really what you would say is putting your money where your mouth is, wouldn't you say?
Right. Absolutely. And like I said, for me, watching my mother go through, you know, go to school and, you know, work hard and continue to be diligent despite, you know, other obstacles, that gave me strength to do it. And my sister, my older sister, actually went back to school. She's an adult learner as well. She's about to graduate and she's about to finish up her bachelor's degree. I have another sister that's a few credits shy of getting her degree. So this is an educational movement going on, and it feels great.
Wow, this is a family affair.
Yes, yes, and it really feels great.
Wow.
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say that I heard something recently that stated, I know that our parents growing up, a lot of times they would get a job and they would stay at that job and retire from that job. I heard something recently that stated in our lifetime we would have three different careers. A lot of people decided to go back to school based on the economic temperature that we have right now. A lot of people did decide to go back to school. And, I mean, even in my school, I see people older than me, 40s, 50s. You know, there was a woman in her 60s that she's a grandmother in school, and she's going to college, and her granddaughter's in college.
Mm.
So when I hear people say, oh, I'm too old or, you know, there's no time. No, you make time because you know what? First of all, we're living a lot longer. You know, we're retiring from work a lot later. And there's nothing wrong with people changing their careers later on in life, and they're doing it every day.
And not only that, though, but learning is a lifelong process. And so it's to go back to school to learn something new, to challenge your mind,
Solomon Robinson.
Welcome.
Welcome. How you doing? I'm literally on a train. I want to congratulate to Mrs. Dick.
Thank you.
I don't have no problem. How you doing? How's everything? Congratulations.
Well, Solomon, we thank you for calling in and giving her a shout out, and you can stay from that train.
All right, so I'm very sorry. If I get out, I should be getting out like maybe in 8-10 minutes, and I'll call you guys back if you're still on the air.
Okay, well, thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, congratulations once again.
Thank you.
All right, no problem. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for that call. That's sweet. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm going to say is that before Solomon called in that, brain research states that when you learn something new, you actually create new brain cells in your body, and it actually is one of the number one preventers of Alzheimer's. So we should never get to the point where we think that we have learned everything, because a man or a woman in pursuit of knowledge should never return. And have you ever noticed that the people who think that they have learned everything and they know everything, they start to age?
Yes.
They age, but it's the person who's constantly opening themselves up to different opportunities that they not only do they have a young look, but they have a young spirit because they're still open to learning.
Absolutely. I've seen it firsthand in my industry. You know, I'm going out for education within salons, and, you know, every once in a while you will get that person that's like, well, I know it all already. And guess what? The moment you feel like you know it all, you stop growing. You know, even with me, with over 18 years experience, I still learn something new, and I still can learn something new every day. So, you know, I feel like I can learn something new. You can learn from a baby. You can learn from a child.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter the source, but you always have to keep your mind and yourself open to learning.
Now I know that you said that you are going to continue to pursue your education. Do you have any ideas in terms of what you would like to study in graduate school?
Yes, I want to go back for communications.
Okay.
Because I think that that's a degree that would help me within my field. And, you know, everybody could always use, you know, being a more effective communicator, I feel.
Absolutely. And your field deals with a lot of communication.
Absolutely.
And can you tell us a little bit about what that, I know the part that you do, you spoke about it earlier, international education when it comes, or national education when it comes to hair health.
Yes.
I want to segue for a moment because I know there's a lot of women that are interested in keeping their hair healthy. What exactly do you do?
Well, basically, I work with a product line that deals with healthy scalp, and as a result of having a healthy scalp, you are able to produce a better quality of hair. What happens is so often people are just concerned with the hair, but what they don't realize is the hair grows from the scalp. So with this product line, it actually helps to maintain a healthy hair, a healthy scalp environment, and as a result, you're going to have a healthier head of hair. So what I do in particular is I go out to various salons and I educate the stylists on using these products and how they can help themselves maintain healthier hair for their clients. I also give classes in beauty schools where I'm teaching students the importance of healthy hair and scalp, and we're dealing with this product line as well. And I do education with different distributors. I actually help open up some of the ethnic markets along the East Coast to educate the distributors so that they can now take these products and they are well-versed on it and they can sell them because they're well-educated on the product lines. So I'm dealing with different levels of people who I'm teaching these products to.
And this is through what company?
This is through Procter & Gamble, and the product line that I'm working with is Niaxin, and they actually have been out for over 25 years now. And they were the original product line that dealt with using the scalp and maintaining a healthy scalp environment. They were the original product line that started to target that. And now, you know, many other companies now, they jumped on the bandwagon, which happens all the time, but they were the first company to do all of the testing and the research, put the research behind the products to get great results.
Well, shout out to Procter & Gamble and their Oxygen line and you work with them, and it sounds like communications is the right match for you, and we wish you success in that new course of study, that next level of challenge.
Yes, thank you.
So, if there's someone listening who plans to return to school, what are some of the key things they need to do to maximize their rate of success?
I would say definitely figure out, for one, I would say go and register. Go and get the ball rolling. You have to start, take that first step. Go to the school, start the process, register, and also figure out your time management. You know, figure out some time every day where you're going to allot to your studies. Find a quiet place, whether it's at home or it's in a library at your school, or it's, you know, wherever you can find that's going to be a place where you can concentrate and, you know, get the job done. And I would say just do it. You have to start. You have to start from somewhere. So take the first step.
And what would you say to them in terms of communicating to their family members in terms of helping them to understand the kind of pressures that they're under?
I would definitely tell them to let their family members know that, you know, you are going to need support with this, you know, whether it's, again, like we did, you know, whether it's just giving that person quiet time or just a word of encouragement saying, you're doing good. Keep going. You know, mm-hmm. these little things definitely help, and they have a major impact. You may not think that it does, but it does. But I would definitely sit your family members down and tell them how important this is to you and that, you know, if they can support and involve them in the process. Like I said with me, if I learned a new word, I would go home and I would use the word all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Involve your loved ones in the process. You did the same thing. What you learned at school, you came home, you spoke about it. We discussed it. You know, when you're doing it like that, it just makes it that much easier because you're all on the same page and you're learning together.
Yeah, and they feel, and like you said, they feel a part of the process when
Absolutely.
It happens like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, listen, here is the last question. you have gotten your bachelor's degree. You're going to pursue your graduate studies. You have all of this professional experience and what have you. My last question is, what will Sharifa Wahaj Blake impact be on her community?
I think I have a lot to offer. I definitely want to give back, and I'm going to just say stay tuned to that because I do want to help raise my community in any way that I can. So I am looking to giving back, and you know, actually, I have something coming up this summer where I'll be giving some young ladies, some young adolescent at-risk adolescent students, females, some classes on how to better take care of their hair, hygiene, self-worth, all of that. So I am planning on doing more things of that nature where, you know, I am giving back to my community. So I would just say for that, stay tuned. You know, I'm one of those type of people that I don't really like to talk about it. I like to be about it. So
absolutely.
Once
you have
I get
been
everything,
about it. You have been about it because don't you donate something to a hospital on an annual basis in terms of hair and support for certain kinds of patients?
Yes. Actually, I'm involved with a program that helps people that have mental issues or have had issues, period, get them back into the workforce. So every year, me and a group of scholars, we go out and we do hair for free as part of a makeover. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, that is so inspiring. I've had people cry in my chair and tell me that they've never thought that they could look so good. You know, a lot of these people never had an opportunity of going to a salon and having their hair done, period. So to have someone come in and actually care about them, not getting paid, you know, this is a just, you know, offer my services and actually make them feel good and look good, you know, it feels good to me because, you know, that's what it's all about. If you can't give back and give of yourself to people, then to me, you haven't done your job. So that feels good, and I love doing that. Like I said, every year we go out once a year, and the organization, they donate clothes to them, and we do the hair. They have some people coming in and they do their makeup, and then they actually give a fashion show. And to see these people transform and walk with confidence and have their shoulders back and their heads held high because they feel good, and they feel good because they look good, and now they're actually able to go out into the workforce and go out in that interview because they have the appropriate clothes and they have a hairstyle, they have a total look that they can go out and show the world. They're actually going out there and they're getting jobs. And this is something that, you know, to be able to touch people like that, that are, you know, in situations where they can't do it on their own, you know, it feels great. So that's something I love to do. And, I am planning on doing more things like that as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's a perfect note to close on. Let's just remember, brothers and sisters, that we want to congratulate all of you who are out there gaining higher education. But if you're not using your education to uplift your people, then your education really doesn't have the value that you think it has. So let's use our education to uplift our community. Let's use our scholarship to inspire our young people. And let's not let education make us arrogant. Let it make us greater servants of the people we're educated to serve. And we just want to take this time to thank our special guest, Sharifa Wahaj Blake. Thank you for being with us today.
And thank you for having me. It was my honor.
And we'd like to thank the listening audience for listening, and just want to let you know that this show will be archived, and you can get it at blackholeradio.com. I'd like to thank our producers and engineer, Brother Forrest and Brother Jason, and our sponsors. Our next show coming up, Community Awareness, Disaster Preparedness, with Brother Rudolph Muhammad. This is Brother Shungo. This has been another week of The True School Show. And until next week, peace.
Now, boy, I remember when radio used to be just like this. You turn on the radio and you actually get something for your money worth, even though it's free. You had to pay for no satellite radio back then. You had good, solid radio for your brain, something that makes you think. I remember. Now, that's that black hole radio, or Blog Talk Radio.